Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here Thursday, November the 19th, 2020, 18 minutes past the hour, 1 week away from the big Thanksgiving holiday, although during this pandemic will be a little different this year, but still Thanksgiving. And because it's Thanksgiving and because it is the third Thursday of the month, 9:10 to 10 a.m., we are joined by one of my longtime friends who has been on this program, coming on this program for many holiday seasons now, and really any other month for many, many years. Because this is what you do during holiday time. Even during the pandemic, you get on the phone, you get on the Zoom, and you talk to people who feel like family. And this person certainly feels like family to me. And lucky us, she's also the undisputed queen of helpful hints, author, all-around great person, to help us fix our Thanksgivings, the legendary Heloise. Heloise, how are you?
I am doing quite well, thank you. I don't know, unless I'm going to ask you, since I'm not really, I know I'm a writer. I do my newspaper column and books and for magazines and everything, but remember, I was a math major in college. Is legendary positive or negative?
You know, that's interesting, because there are people... Yeah, there are people who like it, because it is meant as a compliment.
Right.
It's meant as a compliment, but some people take it as a negative because they think of it as a yesterday. Joan Rivers was like that. She thought of it as it meant she was past her day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but I mean it as a compliment.
Oh, of course.
Yes.
Of course. No, I wouldn't think that.
Yeah, so that's interesting, but yeah, people take words different ways. You have to be careful.
Well, you do, and also different parts of the company, of the country, use different terms. All right, if you, in Texas, and I think most of the South, but I know for sure here in Texas, if you said to somebody, I'm going to go to the ice house and get some milk and bread, they know what you mean. But in another part of the country, they're thinking, why are you going to buy ice? No, the ice house here is a convenience store.
Oh, well, you know, some words have double meanings, and we learn this a lot at this time of year, because sometimes we'll go to somebody's house for Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
and we'll say, boy, this is unbelievable, and boy, that means we had a great time, who would have thunk
yeah.
it? But then we try somebody's mashed potatoes and gravy, and we say, boy, that was unbelievable.
Oh.
And that means, boy, don't ever give me that again.
Not so good.
No,
huh?
Not so good. So I think it's how you intend it, which I think is a lot of the English language.
Well, that is absolutely true. But I will say, as a courtesy, and so that you can get out of the house safely, particularly if it's a relative, always compliment the chef and the cook and whoever is helping. Are you there?
Oh, I am.
Okay. But it's really important. So many times I can remember, you know, my mother, the original Heloise, when they would do Thanksgiving when we finally moved back to Texas. My family is all from Texas. Well, those women, my mother, her twin sister, they all either come here or we go back to my grandparents' house. They were cooking for 2 days.
Wow. Well, you know, we're getting to that. I think even though this year maybe the big groups aren't going to be getting together, people are still going to be cooking because we all like to eat.
Yes. Yeah. Well, but sometimes I think the leftovers are better than the actual meal.
Well, this is true, but see, I have a worry now. Let's just get into it, because here we are. A few Thanksgivings ago, it wasn't last year, I think it was 2 years ago, for the last probably 10 years, I have taken on doing Thanksgiving at my house, so I cook the turkey, among other things.
Mm-hmm.
And it had never been a problem. And then 2 years ago, I cooked the turkey. And everything was fine on Thanksgiving Day, no issue there. And I like the turkey, because I like turkey. I like turkey leftovers.
Oh, absolutely.
So, normally that weekend, my favorite thing to do with turkey leftovers is I like to make a turkey salad with ranch dressing and cheese.
Oh, with ranch dressing. That sounds good.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Friday, Thanksgiving happens on Thursday. I put the turkey in the refrigerator when the thing's over. I went out to dinner on Friday night, which I normally don't do, but that Friday night I went out to dinner with some friends who wanted to meet up. And then Saturday, I'm going to get into these turkey leftovers. And I got into the turkey leftovers, and I got violently ill.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. So now I'm highly paranoid of anything to do with the turkey that I don't eat Friday.
Well, my little notepad here of some topics to bring up was going to be food safety.
Oh, boy.
Well, because remember the turkey, some people, like when you see on television things, they always stuff the turkey with the dressing and then bake it. You have to be sure that the internal temperature also reaches the right temperature. Don't take it directly from the refrigerator and throw it in the oven or put it in the oven. Let it sit out for a couple minutes, 5 to 10. It's not going to go bad or anything. And then take your thermometer, you know, when you're going to go in and check it, and try to get all the way down there to be sure that the dressing is cooked, because you've got a raw turkey, you've stuffed it with dressing and bread and eggs and all that kind of stuff. So there is a small chance.
Oh, it's very nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
And now I'm told, and I don't know if this is right, but as far as the bird goes, that you probably have until Sunday. Now, is that right, like 3 days?
Have until Sunday what?
To eat it, yeah, without having any issue.
If it's been processed, I mean, you've cut it in slices, say you cut off the leg part, and you cut the meat in serving sizes and put that, you know, in a freezer-safe bag or refrigerator, you know, zip bag, and you put that in the refrigerator, and it's cold, and then you take it out and make a sandwich and put it back in, I think 3, 4 or 5 days you should be okay. But the real hint is the smell test. If you smell something and it doesn't smell right, then don't take a chance.
Well, and I'm still debating in my mind, because it was Saturday, maybe I just caught something, you know, it is cold and flu season. Right. Maybe I just caught something, and it had nothing to do with the turkey.
That may be it.
Yeah, so I don't know. But speaking of the turkey, one thing I like, which seems to have been forgotten when it comes to the turkey, everybody remembers the stuffing, and that's not forgotten, but the cranberry sauce.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and I like it out of the can.
Good for you.
Well, most
people. Sounds good
to me. Well, see, but no.
The best thing to make.
Well, you got to have that plop with the cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, when people bring cranberries over, I don't know what, you know. I think, okay, well, that's nice. Decoration.
Well, my mother used to make one, and I think she learned it from her mother, so my grandmother's, and with fresh cranberries. And, you know, they're pretty sturdy. And she would get the meat grinder. I see that thing. I've still got it out in David's barn. Hook it on the cabinet or the, you know, in the kitchen, so it's sturdy. And she put a big bowl down there, and she'd throw in the cranberries. But what she did is she would take orange, just the rind of the orange, after the outside, the peel, and peel that and chop it all up. And you mix that with the cranberries, and it gives it a little bit of extra flavor, a little, oh, that's nice.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the only thing, you know, I like it out of the can, as I say, but my problem is with the can opener. Which is, you know, I've never been able, we haven't talked about this for a while, but, it, you know, this is a meal. I've never been able to throw away the 7 or 8 broken can openers that I have, because I'm
yes,
still...
Yes, we have talked about this.
We have, and I'm still so stressed about the whole thing when I open that drawer, because I feel they should not have broken. That's all I know.
Oh, you make me laugh.
Well...
You know, it's if you think of it logically, if you have an item, a can opener, a refrigerator, you know, your lawnmower, something like that that does not work, that you cannot fix or get repaired, what is the point of keeping it?
Oh, I agree. What I'm doing is not logical. But what it is that I feel that a can opener should open cans. And the fact that it broke trying to open... I mean, I wasn't trying to play badminton with the thing. And the fact that it... And that I've went through so many that they break so easy.
Something... You know what? There's an old saying that it may be the fault of the operator. Because breaking a can opener is, that takes a little effort there.
Well, Heloise, I don't know that we need a PhD to run a can opener.
You shouldn't.
I don't know. Maybe I'm doing something wrong there.
Who knows? But again, that's a very inexpensive item. So here's, I'll tell you what. You do a Heloise test for me. Next time you're shopping, buy one of every brand of can opener. Mm. And then when you get home, test each of them and see if they work differently. One may be a little flimsy. I don't know.
You know what normally happens? For some reason, the twister, the knob that
yes.
you're... Yeah, that's what breaks. That's the part... That I don't think the knob itself breaks, but the internal mechanism.
The internal mechanism.
Yeah.
Yes.
That turns the can
the
opening
wheel
part.
And everything.
Yeah, the blades. That just de-threads for some reason.
Well, you can lubricate it. You can use, you know, a spray lubricant like you use around the house with just a touch. You don't need a lot, and then turn it back and forth and back and forth. So that the wheel and the cutting part gets all lubricated. And if you're apprehensive about that, take a little cooking oil. Not olive oil, because olive oil is thick, but just a little vegetable oil and put that on there.
You know, Hel, I'm going to do this, but I was thinking about this as I was driving in this morning because I knew you were going to be on, and I always love talking to you. And I was thinking, in more than a half century between you and your mother, of Heloise's helpful hints, what...
You're right.
What, I know, isn't that amazing? Now, that's legendary.
You know, I hadn't thought of it that way, Scott. That's, you know, you're right.
Half century. People don't get runs like that anymore.
Wow.
That's great. But I was thinking, in all this half century, the way we have prepared the big meal, the big Thanksgiving, has changed. What is the number one, in 50 years, Heloise Thanksgiving hint? What's been the most asked question?
It's usually turkey related, as in safety measures, how long will it last, etc. Then the second area is leftovers. And the funny one, and actually it's a girlfriend of mine, Judy Kelly, when we lived in Arlington, Virginia, my dad was stationed at the Pentagon, her father was, and my parents were out of town for some reason, and I went and spent Thanksgiving with them. And, you know, 5 hours after the meal and the kitchen's cleaned up and everything, and I go in the refrigerator and I open the door and I can't find the darn turkey. And I'm like, okay, now wait a minute. I thought, Judy, she goes, oh, it's in the trunk in the car out in the driveway. I said, what?
Oh.
Well, at that time of year in Virginia, and at that specific time, it was like 30 degrees. It was a little bit below freezing. So I'm like, okay. And the whole family knew, and they have a plate. And they'd open the trunk of the car, and they'd cut off the turkey pieces and put on the plate, slam the trunk in. But what she did was, I thought, really brilliant. Assess the situation. You know, if you don't have space in the refrigerator, you don't have space. Well, it is 32 or 35. The inside of the car stays pretty much as cold as the outside. You've got an extra refrigerator.
Well, you know, that's a neat idea, but see, that would make me nervous.
Fine.
Yeah, I know.
And if you walk outside and need a coat, you know, if it's freezing or something like, or even 40 degrees, your refrigerator is not even that cold. I think the refrigerator stays at, maybe somebody will, 56 for some reason I have in my mind. But it doesn't say freezing. I mean, your freezer does, of course. And then here's the other thing, too, is make up, if you have the time, a little assembly line, a couple extra complete plates with turkey in the dressing, whatever vegetables you had, you know, slide that into a freezer bag or wrap it in foil and put them in the freezer. And let me tell you, a couple months later when you're watching a football game or sports comes on or something, I swear it tastes so much better than it did at Thanksgiving.
Oh, I bet you're right. You know, some of those things just take a little, like wine, they need to be aged.
Well, now that depends on the wine.
What is the rule on that? Because a lot of people have wine on Thanksgiving.
Yes, yes. It depends on the wine. Generally, if it's a drier wine, a red, say, a Bordeaux, or something like that, if it the drier it is, then it won't age. It may or may not age. And it depends on the wine also. Has it already been aged? It may have been aged, you know, at the chateau or the winery. Then they put the labels on it. So the best way truly is, you know, open a bottle. Now, if it's a red or a Cabernet, a Bordeaux, etc., particularly a heavy red, is you want to let it breathe, is the term they use, as in take a deep breath. So you leave the cork off, and you let the wine breathe, and that way it will sort of dissipate if there are any, sometimes, not the sulfites, I'm trying to think of, depending on what they use, it will dissipate, or you've seen them decant wine, and there is an art in that, because when you're decanting it, when you've taken the cork out and you look at the cork, the cork is still a little spongy, but it doesn't fall apart. The cork smells okay. You still decant it very carefully into a decanter or another vessel, and that will let it breathe. And it will get some air, some oxygen into it, and it will kind of mellow it.
That sounds, well, that's good, because, see, wine is tricky when it comes to that sort of thing, aging, what's appropriate
very much
to serve?
So.
Oh yeah.
It can be, particularly in, you know, chateaus from Europe, and a lot of our vintners in California produce some phenomenal wines. But, you know, when you buy one, be sure you read the label, know what it is, and it may be able to be cellared or stored for 5 or 10 years and be perfectly fine when you open it.
Hmm. That's another good hint. Now, Heloise, one of the staples of Thanksgiving, and this has been a debate around here for the last couple days, yams versus sweet potatoes.
Oh.
Is there any difference
yes,
here?
There is.
A discernible difference.
There is.
Oh.
By genetically, and I think it's the FDA defines them differently. They're very similar. But they are, and some, I know somebody will call in and correct me if I'm wrong. They're similar, but they are not the same species.
Really?
Yeah. But as far as I'm concerned, sweet potato just sounds better.
What? So okay. Now, we want these things to be sweet. Now, what I have found is a real sweet potato from the veggie section of the store,
mm-hmm.
is not particularly sweet on its own.
Correct.
But a yam coming out of that can, it's got a sweetish taste to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what's with the little marshmallows and the brown sugar?
I think it makes it look nice. But it depends on what you're starting with. They may pick them or harvest them. They shouldn't harvest them when they're totally perfectly ripe, because they won't survive through the process of the harvest, transporting them to the canning factory. So they pick them a little underripe, and then they will ripen up, or kind of thing. So a lot of it has to do with how you grew up and what you eat and what you think, what kind of foods or desserts for Thanksgiving or Christmas. Now, living in Texas, all my family is from Texas and Southern, going back 4 or 5 generations, if you don't have pecan pie for dessert, you better get in your car and drive to the grocery store or the convenience store and get a pecan pie.
So pecan pie is the staple.
I think so.
Now, a lot of people would say on Thanksgiving the staple is pumpkin pie.
True. That's true. I will, as a Texan, I will say you're correct. Yeah, pumpkin pie first.
But I'll tell you, if you have the pumpkin pie, even if you have it, if you don't have the whipped cream, then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. People don't like that.
Well, finally, one of my college friends, when I was in college, came home with me because her family lived way, way up north and like a five days off. So she came home with me, and her mother had always made real whipped cream. She had never cooked. She was a freshman. And mother had the pecan pie and then pumpkin pie. And I think we had an apple spice pie or something or other. Mother goes to the refrigerator, pulls out the can, is going, and the girl stood there and said, "What is that?" Mother was like, "It's whipped cream." And she's like, "Really? In a can?" And I said, "Mother, do you have extra cans?" And by the way, if you are entertaining relatives or family or friends or something, be sure and prepare to have a little bit extra. All right? There may be someone who shows up that you weren't planning on. And so my favorite part was the next day going into the refrigerator and taking one of the cans and taking the top off and putting my head back and just going, and than having a mouthful of whipped cream.
Well, people, and this is another thing. You know, people like that aerosol whipped cream, but some people like it out of the tub.
And that's fine. And the one in the tub, I think you're right, seems to be a little bit thicker, a little more dense.
I think you're... What is a dollop?
What is a dollop?
Because people say, give me a dollop of whipped cream on that pumpkin pie. What is that?
I wish I had my... I'm in my studio, but I don't have my netbook with me. A dollop, I don't know the real definition, but I think it's a spoonful of whipped cream. A spoonful of sour cream that you put on potatoes. You know, a spoonful. Now, if you like me and you really like it, you know, get a soup spoon or a serving spoon. But just about a spoonful. It's un petit. It's a little bit to either give the item, you know, the food, a nice, pretty look. It may add a little flavor. And a lot of times, you know, the finished product is beautiful. I used to make cakes, and when you bake a cake, yes, you want the cake to taste good. And I would use, a lot of people, you can, when you open the oven and pull the rack out a little bit, knowing it's going to be hot, or use the back of a fork or a spoon, and you kind of press the top down just a little bit, it should spring back. It shouldn't be concave. It shouldn't, so it should spring back just a little bit. And then when you're going to be frosting it or icing it, you really want them, hopefully, to be even. So the Heloise hint is, for the bottom layer, look at the pan of cake, and you'll see many times it rises up in the middle like a little mountain. Well, cut that off so that it's even, and then you put that side face down on the serving plate so that you then have a very flat even to put the second one on, and it doesn't look wobbly. But you're eating it. I don't think it really matters what it looks like. But we eat with our eyes first.
You know, somebody told me not too long ago, and I thought this was interesting, is that food is for the mouth.
I would concur, except I would add in the three senses for that. Is one is visual. It looks good. It looks pretty. It looks like it's going to taste good, like a roasted turkey. Like a chocolate cake that's been frosted, you know, or cherry pie. You know, it looks good. You eat with your eyes at first. Second sense is the sense of smell. You know, when I was in college, I lived in an apartment complex, and my roommate and I had a small one-bedroom apartment. And two guys next door, they baked and cooked. I mean, they did. And we'd be in our apartment and doing this. And she says, what do you think? I said, smell this. And those sweet boys, they would come over and bring us some of the cake or the pie or the pot roast or whatever they had been cooking. So to reciprocate, because we didn't really cook that well that time, is... we each had our jobs, and this is important also, that everybody in the family needs a job. One person is in charge of this. You take everybody's coats and you put them here. Next person, et cetera, you know, clean up or be sure that everybody has their drinks. And even a toddler, if they can walk, can carry a napkin or a paper napkin into the kitchen in to the trash can. And our neighbors next door, they didn't bake well. They didn't bake or cook, but everything else they cooked. So I would bake and take it over to them. And they were so appreciative. I'm like, well, it's no big deal. And they said, no, we don't, you know. So just think in terms of, you know, people say, well, I always think about what I would like or what I would do. Well, instead, think about the person. What would they like? What do you think they would feel comfortable with or they may need some help in? And that's really a gift that you can't put a price on.
Well, and when you think about it, so much of Thanksgiving is made, built around the food and the cooking, but yet some people can't do that. So part of this holiday is presentation. What kind of decorations could we put out in the house? And if I'm coming to somebody's house, what is something I could bring if I can't cook?
Very good question. Is now in Europe is you have to be careful about bringing fresh flowers. Like you stop at the grocery store or the flower shop and they have all the flowers, they're all wrapped together. Well, if you bring those, that means the host or hostess has to go find a vase and then put them in water. So some people, and you can't say, oh, I'll do this later. You know, so it depends on the situation. But at the grocery store, you know, during the holiday season, they have all the pre-made flower arrangements. Get one of those, and then the hostess or host can set that wherever they would like it to be. Maybe in the powder room, maybe in the living room on the coffee table. You just never know.
Now leaves. Can I take leaves, because they look so nice from outside, and put those on the table?
I think it's a lovely idea. Yes, because that really is, you know, like I said, I used to live in Virginia, and I could always tell, you know, fall was here, winter was coming, because I'd be standing out waiting for the bus. Yes, I rode a bus to school, and you'd see the leaves start falling. And some were bright red, some were kind of orange. You know, they're beautiful, beautiful colors. So decorate your house like that.
You know, I was giving somebody a hint the other day because I think this time of year, a common mistake is made when it comes to plants and decoration. I think people come to, like, Christmas Eve or Christmas parties and they bring a poinsettia. Now, at that point, I don't need it because the holiday's over the next day. But if I bring you a poinsettia, and they're at the stores, if I bring you a poinsettia on Thanksgiving, you have it all the holiday season.
You do. And also, it's either poinsettia or poinsettia. I'm not sure of the pronunciation.
Oh, here we go.
But I know.
This is one of those things I every year.
But remember, they can be potentially poisonous to small animals. I mean, like a bird or something like that. That, you know, when you break a leaf off, it looks like thick milk that comes out. So you want to be sure that keeping that in mind. And then when it not dies, but all the leaves fall off, you can still keep it as a plant. I can make one regrow again. And what you do is you cut it off about 2 to 3 inches above the soil line. Water it well. Put it in a place that it will get daylight. And it will start to grow.
Well, it's such a good gift. You know, I knew somebody who used to go to the probably grocery store or maybe the nursery, the plant nursery, I don't know, but they would buy probably like 10 poinsettias or poinsettia, however you like it. And you get in, and they would get in their car, and you know that you're busy on Thanksgiving morning, but they would just leave it on the porch.
Oh, how lovely.
So you'd open up your door, maybe when your first guest or you're going to the grocery store yourself, and there'd be a poinsettia on your porch, and it's such a nice gift that even goes well beyond Thanksgiving Day.
What a nice surprise.
Yeah, I thought that was nice.
I how lovely to do that. And whoever that your friend is, tell them they get a Heloise hug.
I will put that down because they would appreciate that. And you know, I don't understand, Heloise. Now, maybe this is improper, but I don't understand why we show up to Christmas parties with Christmas merriment, like Christmas candy or poinsettias, when really we're out of it the next day. Shouldn't we bring this Christmas stuff to Thanksgiving?
Depending on what it is, of course. If it's a food item, or wine, or something like that, or a dessert, of course you can. But it depends. Well, you know, but a lot of people, Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's many times the same menu. So, and also, when you're going to someone else's home, is ask, you know, is there anything I can bring? And David and I, Pam, have a friend who, God bless her, she was a single mom, and her son was like, I don't know, 10 or 11, about that age. And every time she'd come, she'd walk in, and she had a big brown grocery bag. And I'm thinking, what is she bringing the first time? The woman was smart. She brought extra rolls of paper towels, Kleenex, and toilet paper.
Oh, toilet paper is a good one.
Oh, toilet paper, absolutely.
Oh.
Yes. Now, that people are like, what? But you think about it. Yeah. So when you're shopping, and see, those are items that they don't go bad, and you're always going to use them.
I always feel it's important anytime you and I talk about a meal, especially the biggest one of the year like we're about to go into, because this is my problem, and I know it's so many other people's problems. When you're making the deviled eggs, how do you not crack the membrane of the egg when you're trying to take the shell off?
Right. And that's a common problem. Even if you're making hard-boiled eggs or hard-cooked, technically. Now, see, I just said it. You really, first, you don't boil them. They shouldn't be going bum, 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 in the pan. You're supposed to cook them. Then, when it gets to the point, and depending on how many eggs they are and what size they are, small, medium, large, extra large takes a little bit longer to cook, is when it's to the time, take it over to the sink, carefully pour out the hot water, and if you'll turn the cold water on at the same time, it'll help prevent some of that steam coming up in your face. Then shake the pan and the eggs. You can put the lid on and do it, or shake that, and it cracks. That action will actually crack the shell. Then the real fun part is fill it with water, put in a handful or two of ice cubes. And the majority of the time, the eggshells will absolutely come off easily. Some of them actually come off while they're in the water.
Mm-hmm. You know what I do? I've tried everything. And so what I do is when I break all the membranes, I still mix up that good goo in the center with the mustard and the mayonnaise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mix all that up, and then I put it on a Ritz cracker.
Oh, that sounds good.
Well, you can't just throw it away.
Oh, gosh, no.
No.
No, no, no.
No, even though the eggs have bit the dust, why not use it for something? Or maybe just put the... Why can't we put the pieces of eggs in that little concoction and just
why
mix
not?
That all up?
And you know what? That'd be easier to eat, too.
Wouldn't it? Just a spoonful.
There's no polite way, unless you've got a big mouth and you put the whole thing in. Well, no... Again, one of our friends, Ronnie, a friend of ours, big guy, too. He was a football player. And he had reddish auburn hair, but he had a handlebar mustache, a real handlebar mustache. And he would eat the legs, and everybody'd say, Ronnie, wipe your mouth. And he's like, what? Well, his mustache would kind of, like, go down over his top lip. And he'd hold all that gunk, and he's like, oh, okay. So the next year, and you know how things are in college. The next year, one of the guys, one of the hosts was so cute. He said, Ronnie, I have a special item just for you. And Ronnie's going, yeah? He said, here's a sponge. I've cut it in half. When you eat the deviled eggs, be sure to use this to wipe your mustache.
Taking care of him. Make sure, making sure he's well kept. That's a good thing. Now, Heloise, I want to talk about the pumpkin pie, because a lot of people go and they buy the store-bought pumpkin pie, and that's fine. And what I do is I buy it store-bought, and then I take it out of the casing, and I put it on a plate, and I pretend like I made it. Because I think that's impressive, don't you?
Well, and again, many chefs and food stylists will tell you, you eat with your eyes first.
That's
and so presenting the food, even if you bought the cake or the pie at the store, presenting it on a pretty plate, maybe you've put some leaves down around the bottom and it looks Thanksgiving-y or Thanksgiving-ish, is you're like, oh. So presenting it, the presentation of whatever the food is probably a good 20 to 30% of how much you're going to enjoy it. Or your guests are.
And then they say, boy, this tastes just like Marie Callender's. And I say, you have no ideas how good that is. But what I want to say about the pumpkin pie is if you are actually whipping up your own pumpkin pie, which some people like to do.
Yes, I used to make them.
Oh, yeah, people love that. What can you put? Is there anything you can put in there like a nutmeg or a cinnamon to give it a little different taste than your typical pumpkin pie?
Well, you know, they have, depending on the recipe you're following, they have suggested or required, not really required, you're making it yourself, but you know what I mean, spices. But some people like a little bit more nutmeg. They like the taste of nutmeg. Some people like a little more cinnamon. So maybe a little more cinnamon. So you want to flavor it to what you like, and hopefully your guests will also.
Now, because you're having dessert, which normally in the society we live in today, a lot of people don't get together for dessert in people's houses, unfortunately, like they used to. But should you on Thanksgiving, not for really the meal, but should you have the coffee pot ready and going?
You know, I set that up ahead of time. And even when we have guests who come stay with us, I told you my husband was a hot air balloonist, and we would have ballooning friends, I mean, from Australia and some in Europe. They would come stay with us, and I would say to them the night before, I'd say, okay, over here, this cabinet next to the refrigerator. I'd open the doors. I'd say, here are all the coffee mugs. Here's where the sugar is, artificial sweetener. I'd set some spoons out. And then I would set the coffee maker up for it to, because they would leave early. I would set it to go off at like 6 a.m. because they were up and out of the house by 7. And nothing smells as good as, particularly in the morning, is that coffee. Doesn't it?
Oh, and that's a good thing here, as we got about 2 minutes left here. Now,
okay.
As far as smell goes, because you smell the cooking, you smell the pies, you smell the turkey,
yeah.
But if you really just want to smell your house up for the holiday,
cheat.
Yeah, what do you, should we just?
Cheat. No, it's very easy. Is put a pot or pan of water on the stove. And put in the spices that you like. It could be cinnamon. It could be nutmeg in the sweet area. Or if you like the turkey smell, put in some sage and that kind of thing. And then the aroma will waft through the house, and it smells like you've been cooking all day.
Now, Heloise, what will you be doing for Thanksgiving?
We are going to settle in. We're at home, and David's son is off, and he's got things to do. So it's going to be the two of us and watching football. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan forever. And just kind of having a nice, quiet Thanksgiving.
Now, is there something specialty that you whip up that's on the table that everybody looks for every year that's homemade?
Yes, I do, and thank you for asking. And it was one that my mother taught me, and it's a fresh fruit, or compote, really, a compote salad. So it's fruit salad. Well, I don't have time or the inclination to cut everything up fresh. So I buy a couple large cans of fruit salad, drain those, put them in the bowl or the serving dish I'm using. But then I add what I cut up, maybe some mangoes, maybe some apples, could be Granny Smith apples or Fuji. And then everyone likes the maraschino cherries. So I always buy a couple bottles of those and put that in. And for me, that's almost like a dessert.
Sounds delicious and a very healthy alternative.
Yes, it
absolutely
is.
Absolutely. Heloise, next time we talk, we'll be close to the big Christmas holiday.
Yes.
It's always, always a pleasure to talk to you, no matter what time of year it is. And I hope you have the very, very happiest Thanksgiving holiday.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And I want you to know it's like talking to an old friend.
We have a real conversation.
We really do, and I hope your listeners know that I don't do many of these much anymore, 'cause I'm working. But chatting with you is just like chatting with one of my friends, so I wish everyone and their families and their neighbors and their loved ones a happy and safe Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, Heloise.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There you go. Now, there is a classic of American culture. The legendary Heloise for more than a half century, helping our helpful hints in Good Housekeeping magazine and many, many books over the years. Glenn Coble coming up in about 10 minutes. Don't you dare go anywhere. For this day, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Facebook page, Mimi's Party Zone and Balloons.
This is Mary Ellen Withrow, and you are listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Find us on Facebook by searching WWGH Marion, Ohio 107.1 FM and clicking like for exclusive content.
WWGH Radio 7.1 FM.